Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This. What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that he's an incredible, you know, coach, mentor for me. And he's pushed me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But that's relationships.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
Again, playing Oprah's Side of the Street. Final hour, Felger Maz, as promised to you. David, David in the car, what do you think?
Yeah, there is a mutiny. There is a palace queue, and it's not the fault of Gazelle. It's Bill the Hypocrite, who, by the way, put his personal vendetta against Malcolm Butler ahead of a Super Bowl. He would do a best for the well, we do what's best for the team. Really? Jordan Richards running around like a feral cat? They would have got a defensive stop with Keith Richards.
Dave, your call is so good, but your phone, and could you hear him?
Not really,
barely.
No. Sounded like he was yelling from the window of a building.
Murray, his comment line says, Brady wants to play to 45, just not for Bill. So, if they fired Bill, would you get the old Brady back?
Yeah, you might.
Okay, so it's salvageable, Maz. This is what I'm talking about.
So you want to fire Bill then?
No, I'm saying that there's a way to get him back. Can they find a way to get him back?
What if that's the only way?
Do you agree that if they fired Bill, would we get the old Brady back?
I think you would jolt some life into him.
The kid still has to be picked up at practice, you understand?
It's not about the kids. Don't
wait a minute. Hold on. I've just listened to the full 45 minutes of Oprah. He's got to pick the kids
up.
Yeah,
but you don't believe that. So, you know, I know what he said. I don't believe that either. I don't think it's about the kids. I think Bill's a part of it. And getting rid of Bill, like if he were to play for Josh, would that get him focused again? Sure. Yeah, sure it would.
Would he be at passing camp if Josh McDaniels were the head coach?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
What do you think?
I think if that were part of if it were just that, no.
Oh, yes, it would. You know it.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, he would. He would totally do it just out of respect for Josh. If it was Josh's first camp, he would totally do it. You know, I'm not going to do that to Josh.
Okay, so maybe. I'm talking about getting Brady back. The Brady we know.
Well, Josh isn't going to ban Guerrero either.
How do you get him back? How do you get him back? Can you get him back? Is he salvageable?
See, I'm not convinced you can get him back. This is what I'm saying, which is why I don't give him the contract. I just think that, you know, Tom's got some leverage now, and he's going to use it. And so if it takes you, like, if you have to bribe him, like,
I
look at
it. It's pro sports. I mean, that's part and parcel of it. How do you show respect? What's your contract? That's part of it.
Okay, but again, you know... what was it, a month ago? Kraft said everybody, as far as I know, is happy with the contract.
And so you believe that?
No, I'm just telling you that I don't think that the team's necessarily inclined to do it.
John?
And I don't think that clearly the money doesn't drive Brady.
I'm telling you, if there's some sort of reconciliation, some sort of come to Jesus, some sort of turn back towards the old Brady, there'll be a contract extension attached. Just mark my words on that. It'll be part of the whole agreement. It'll be part of the whole thing. And it's just, it's not the money itself. He doesn't need the money. I understand that. It's what it represents. And it's the whole business dealing of where do you stand? Where do we stand? This is how we show our gratitude. We're committing to you. You commit to us. And let's get back to what we've always done.
Okay, so listen, I'm not disputing that if there is a reconciliation.
That'll be a part of it.
Of course it would be. I mean, I think that's almost a given. I just don't think that that's necessarily going to alter Brady's mentality.
Josh in Somerville. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys, 15th time, a long time. My point's a little bit lengthier than usual, but if you give me 40 seconds, I promise I'll finish in that amount. So I'm doing right now. We can all agree that the origin of this drama begins with Tom Brady demanding to Robert that Jimmy G be traded, right?
Yes.
It's fair to say that as people get older, they get more sentimental, and in all likelihood, that's a contributing factor for Kraft's decision to side with Brady and force Bill to trade Jimmy. But as Robert turns more and more in control over to Jonathan, I can't help but wonder, or one can't help but wonder, what if that decision was officially Jonathan's and Brady came to him with the same request to ship off Jimmy G? How do you guys, I don't even honestly think that I have an opinion on this. It's just a developing question. I'm developing opinion. How different, if at all, do you think the direction of the organization would be in regards to these issues with not just with Brady, but with Gronk, with everyone, with all of these situations? Do you think things would be any different? Do you think
Jonathan
would see things perspective from a different perspective?
Yes. I think things are going to change when Jonathan takes over. How much is John doing now versus Robert? I don't know. But it's a dynamic, any business, where the father retires and the son takes over. I don't care if you paint houses or own a football team. There's a dynamic there. And all the people that used to work for the father now have to work for the son. And how does that work out usually? There's a dynamic there. So that's definitely happening with the Patriots or going to happen with the Patriots. We've answered this a million times. I don't know the specifics of it. I'm not inside the walls. I still get the sense, and you just have to think, that the Brady, Belichick, that whole machination is still the domain of Robert Kraft.
Okay? Oh, definitely feels that way. Yeah, definitely feels that way. I mean, as it pertains to the, you know, the big ones, no question about it.
Those are the biggest of the big, and so I still think that that's the domain of Robert. And now, so look, I don't think Jonathan is a decision maker when it comes to that thing right now.
No, look, and even if he were, he may want to do it in the early going the way his father would have done it with those people. I have no idea. There's no way to predict what Jonathan would have done. But I will say that when Jonathan has his coach, his people, I think he will be very sort of businesslike about it. I don't think loyalty will play a big role for him. I think that he will be, you know, deliberate in his decision making and do what's best for the business.
Bob and Easton, thanks for hanging on. Bob, what do you got?
You know, either you guys are too dumb or you're really skirting the issue here.
And could be both.
I'm disappointed in you, and like a dad getting a call from a store that your kid shoplifted. You know, everything that you guys have said have kind of touched the issues of Brady. But two things, or a few things. First off, when Giselle, when we talk about the retirement, and by the way, I'm the Patriot honk, and this hurts me to say all this when I come up with my hot take. But every time we talked about, or you guys bring up Giselle talking about retirement, it was always Brady, Tommy bringing it up. But then he had his docuseries, and he pushed Giselle out there for her to say it, okay? So in 2008, Brady met Guerrero, his ACL injury. Then Edelman met him, and then he got injured. So let me ask you, I've seen this movie before. I'm starting to go down that Lance Armstrong thing. So, guys, tell me here. Do you think maybe it's not about money? Because if it was about money, he would have done that already. It's not about Guerrero. It's about him kind of softening up and preparing to leave because he can't do what he used to do. And I hate to say this, but he's dirty. And he couldn't do it like he used to. And maybe he's going to tank this year or be not as good. And then he's going to go out because he doesn't want to get caught.
So that is a hot take, Bob. So that is a hot take. Wait,
I hate to say that. That hurts me. That's like calling my mother a criminal.
A cheat, right. I hear you, Bob.
I admire you for it, Bob. And I'm glad to see you're capable of thinking outside just the Patriot colors.
So that's, well, let's see. If Brady's performance really falls off that proverbial cliff, which I don't think's happening, by the way, I think it's too much of a mental position and his brain is still, you know, still there. So I don't think the cliff's coming. But if he does drop off dramatically, I think you're allowed to look at anything. You'd look at, did you put the time in the offseason like you used to? Did you get to know your teammates like you used to? Are you on the same page with them like you used to? Because you missed all that time in the spring. What about your trainer? Your trainer just got popped, or is one of his key players got popped for PEDs, and so have training methods changed with all of his clients? I mean, I think we'll look at everything. I don't think it's happening.
So my only question is,
I think, if anything, there's a chance that the offense isn't the same because Brady's, when he shows up to training camp, will be meeting these guys for the first time, like, you know, for all intents and purposes. So, and they're getting a late start.
So at the beginning of 2014, like, his first four games weren't great, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd have to go back and get the particular. I mean, the Kansas City game was brutal. So, like, you know, if it looks bad, I think there's a chance the offense is going to look bad at the beginning of the year.
Oh, never mind the fact that they lost their left tackle, their best running back, one of his most trusted receivers, his best receivers on the shelf for the first month with the PED fail. Like, yeah, it's pretty much it's going to be hard for them to be great in that first month.
I just think they could have a tough first month, and let's see how Brady reacts then.
All right, we hit on some Bruins things earlier. A couple quick thoughts on that. Adam in North Reading. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
You guys mentioned Kovalchuk earlier, and neither of you really seemed all that keen on signing him, so I wanted to ask, why is that? Because if they get him at the right price, I'd be all for it.
No, I don't want a 35-year-old guy skating on the wing when you've got about a dozen 20-year-olds skating on the wing in Providence who you've drafted and developed and have shown a good track record with. I want to see more of that. I do not want to see another old guy here next to David Krejci. I don't even want to see David Krejci anymore. So no, 35 years old, the last 5 years spent in Russia? No. Thank you. What happened to getting younger and faster?
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Kovalchuk for that reason. I like the idea of going young, but I wonder, like, because we played the Darren Drager thing earlier about the fact that they may have some takers on Krejci if they want to explore that here in the offseason. Do they go hand in hand? In other words, if Krejci's here, doesn't it make more sense to sign Kovalchuk?
Yes.
And if Krejci's not, you don't do either one.
Yes. I mean, like, to me, I don't do Kovalchuk no matter what, but he feels like a sidecar to Krejci. But either way, I want nothing to do with that. Matt in Quincy, what are your thoughts?
Hey, what's up, guys? So Kovalchuk, I think, could just be someone you put in there if you're going to, like, a trade with Backes, because he's going to be cheap money. He's probably going to be half what Backes owes. And Krejci's on the back end. It's obvious. It's apparent. But Backes is almost making as much as him in a cap hit. I think you have to get rid of Backes if you want to make any sort of move for a defenseman.
No question. Let me just stop you there. Darren Dreger said the Bruins are trying to move David Backes. I would say, how the hell do you move David Backes?
You got to eat some of the money.
David Backes is 34 and he looks 40. He's now coming off of another concussion. How many is that in his career? I don't know. A dozen? And he has a $6 million cap hit with 3 years to go.
Three more to go. It's 5 years, $30 million.
With a full no movement next year and partial no movements the next 2 years. Who wants that?
You attach a young player or a draft pick to him, and you'll find a team.
So that's how you would have to do it. You would have to give up one of your good young players just to get someone to take on that contract, or you would have a buyout or something like that. You're not going to be able to trade him for anything of value.
So did I hear that right, that right now he has a full movement?
Full no movement, yep.
Ugh.
They all do. They hand him out like Tic Tacs in that league. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God, that's bad. That's brutal.
We continue with everything here on a Reentry Monday right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You have any goals right now?
I'd like to play till my mid-40s. And then I'll make a decision. If I'm still feeling like I'm feeling today, who knows?
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
So again, the transformation of Brady. The first cut was from the Peter King interview last offseason. Just a year later, now the end sooner rather than later, after saying before he wants to play into his mid-40s, and then he'll reassess, meaning he can play beyond 45. Good God. That's aggravating.
Big reversal, huh?
That's aggravating if I'm the Patriots, man.
Kraft in particular. Kraft, if I'm Kraft. Because as Kraft, you went to bat for him. You invested in him when you moved Garoppolo. You invested in Brady. And now he's saying, well, I don't know if I want to play beyond this year.
Does Brady feel you've invested in him? When he makes $14 million a year, which puts him about 20th in the league?
I don't know. Do you feel invested in him when they traded Garoppolo?
Apparently not enough.
Yeah, he probably did, and then he had his trainer ripped away from him, something that already existed. So can I have that back? Maybe I'll give you a little bit more effort.
He's not getting the trainer
back.
This
is my question. Hmm. If he gets a new contract, gets his trainer back, gets some things back, does he come back? The Brady that we know.
So would you give him the trainer back?
I'm considering it. I'm starting to consider it.
Yeah, no.
They're porked without Brady. Porked. So what's the point here? Are we going to try and win this little battle between Belichick and Brady, or are you try and win another championship? I mean, if you're Kraft, right? What's the point here? You moved on from Garoppolo, so you got to maximize Brady here for the next couple of years. If you take care of him, make him happy, you get him back on board, maybe you go to another Super Bowl and you maximize. That's the whole point of keeping Brady. So, I don't know. I'm starting to think it's time to explore it.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it. And again,
as a praise of Brady going through the motions this year and retiring after the season? Who does that help?
Well, it doesn't help anybody. So you have to, you got to like...
Yep. Yes, bribe him. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's a pro athlete.
Yeah. Well, you know, so this, then he's not who he is, right? He's not a super competitive guy who doesn't know any other way on the field. He's not that guy. I look at it and I call his bluff. Tom, if you want to play, let's play. You're a competitive guy. What do you want to go out there and lose? You want to get your brains beaten in your last year? Have a blast. If you want, not only can we put Adrian Waddle left tackle, we can put some other chump at right tackle if you want. Like, you know, we if you totally want to get your brains beaten, we can do that. So I just don't think that that's who he is. So, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not giving him everything he wants. No.
Bill in Maine, what do you got for us?
Yeah, Felger, when Brady was stalling there, when Oprah asked him, you know, about the retirement and all that, do you know what he was thinking in his head? What am I going to tell Griselle? What am I going to tell Griselle? What am I going to tell Griselle? And then finally he just says to Oprah, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm motivated.
So, I mean, I yeah, it, you know what? And you know who was sitting right there off camera, right, Bill?
Yeah, oh, the G lady there. And looking very witchy, by the way.
Well, you're saying Jim Gray, but Griselle was also sitting right there off camera.
What did he call him?
I don't know exactly what he said there.
Yeah, I couldn't catch it either.
I thought he said the witchy lady.
The witchy. Something. Yeah. I think he was referring to Jim Gray.
Yeah, and Griselle.
And Griselle. She was hawking him right there, man. Both her and Jim Gray right off camera with the headsets on. Like, that was a creepy cutaway, was it not?
Like, I get that she's there, but why the hell is Jim Gray hanging out at that thing?
You got me, man. I don't know. That thing was weird. And he had, sort of a, like a...
I'm here to coach you, Tom.
And he had a cat that ate the canary kind of look in his face on top of it. I mean, if he were just in La La Land listening to his headphones, then fine.
Here's Steve in the car. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, just a quick couple points on Belichick and Butler. The hypocrisy is just baffling. I don't understand. Across any sports teams that we have, if the guy doesn't practice all week, we're totally okay with him not being able to play. Especially that's a known rule with Belichick. If you don't practice, you don't play. And second, when your own defensive captain, McCourty, comes out and admits that, oh, Butler was never part of the game plan, why are we surprised that he wasn't playing?
So those two things are only, Steve, you don't have the full truth on both of those. He didn't miss the full week of practice. He showed up a day late because he was sick, presumably.
He missed some practice, yeah.
He missed some, but hold on. I mean, that's not a hard and fast rule that you have to attend every single practice during the week to play on Sunday. That's not true at all. I'm sorry, it's not. Now, if you want to tell me that he missed the first couple days of the week because of something nefarious or off the field, maybe. Like, we don't know the full story there. And Malcolm, you know, apparently had some issues there, back and forth. So maybe there was a not good reason for him to miss the first couple days of practice. No problem there. It's not that he wasn't, and he wasn't not part of the game plan. He wasn't, according to some reports, he wasn't working with the starters during the week. But then you hear other reports from other players that say, no, he was where he usually is. There was nothing different. So there was sort of varying degrees of reports with that. But let me tell you, if you think every player that has played and started in big games was there early and late every single day during the week and did everything right, you're fooling yourself. You're kidding yourself. His team employed Randy Moss for 2+ years. You think he attended every practice? I know for a fact he didn't, because Bill had to send his ass home with a bunch of other guys because they showed up late one day. So he still played that week as far as I can remember. So don't give me that.
No, listen, I mean, you know, the Butler thing and the Brady thing, to me, are two totally separate stories. You know, the people who want to defend Brady lump Butler into it, right? Because it's a way to get back at Bill. I'm not defending Bill for Butler. No one should. That was an egregious mistake. Huge. But the Brady thing is a totally separate thing. They're, you know, I know people want to connect them. They're really not connected.
Dakota and Braintree, what do you got for us today, Dakota?
So, quickly, I'm working on something for the Malcolm Butler reason, and I will find out. I need one more source to confirm what I know, and I will let you guys know as soon as I know it. Okay,
that's
on Butler.
That's,
and I'm not
scary.
You because I not scary, Mike. Because ever since going back to the Terry Francona days when he was in a Red Sox uniform that I got thrown off 15-10 because the Red Sox didn't want me to out Francona, I've been right on every time I said I have inside sources. I will be right on Butler, but this is sensitive, and I need another source to confirm it, and I'll get it for you. As for Belichick and Guerrero, etc., I think we're putting the pieces together wrong. When Edelman was making his recovery, if Belichick found out that Guerrero was supplying or was part of this whole thing with Edelman on coming back to recover with PEDs, maybe it had nothing to do with Brady. Maybe Belichick wanted Guerrero out of the team because it was the Edelman situation. It had nothing to do with Brady.
So maybe Dakota, but I don't think so. Because I don't think, and this is going to sound crass, but I don't mean it like that. I don't think Bill cares if his players take PEDs or not. In fact, like most of the football world, they probably, you know, you just do whatever it takes. Just pass your test and I don't want to know about it.
Right, don't ask, don't tell.
Right, and again, that's not a character assault on Bill. That's just the world of football at that level. I think that's the way it goes. Do whatever it takes for you to have your strength. I don't want to know it. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want you failing any tests. But the rest is up to you. Figure it out. So I don't think Bill cares about that. My guess. What I think he cares about is someone undermining his training staff and his coaching staff, which is what he feels Alex was doing. That's why Alex was kicked out.
Yeah, it's not even really about Brady in a lot of ways, because Brady still gets Guerrero in the building. It's not exactly the way he wanted it before, but Belichick doesn't want Guerrero to be influencing other players and undercutting the training staff. That's what it's about.
Here's Steven Weston. Hi, Steve. What do you got for us?
Hey, so the Brady going into Kraft meeting, you guys are convinced that Brady was afraid of Garoppolo breathing down his neck. There's no chance he could have gone in there and said, basically, talk to Garoppolo and be like, dude, I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to play over me. So I'm going to go tell Kraft to trade you, and maybe he will. Like, I find it hard to believe that Brady was afraid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you guys are so convinced.
Yeah, I don't think he was afraid of Garoppolo. He was afraid of what Bill was going to do. That Bill wanted to go to the next guy. I believe that totally. I mean, in Brady's mind, did Brady think that Garoppolo was better than him or outplaying him? No.
So, but the only question is whether or not he thought Garoppolo was good enough to play.
I think Brady thought Belichick thought that.
Right. Which ultimately is really what matters. So that's fair. But my point is, if Garoppolo sucked, he would look at Bill and say, go ahead, play him. Have a blast. You think you're going to win with that? So it had to be both. Garoppolo had to be a credible option. And Bill had to be willing to do it, both of which I think were true.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was joking my wife earlier this week. She said, oh, great, babe, now you can retire, because I know, you know, you always wanted to win another Super Bowl. And I said, you know what? It's just not to her. I said, yeah, no chance. But I said, this is actually when it's really fun. You know, I think
you mean when you're doing it when nobody expects you to be able to do it?
No, I think doing it when you've had the mental experience to be able to play for as long as I've had, and my body still feels like I'm in my 20s, because I've got the answers to the test now. You can't surprise me on defense. You know, I've just seen it all. It's not that I'm, you know, I've just been able to process 261 games. I've played them all. Now it's actually like, it's an incredibly hard sport, but because the processes are right and they're in place, you know, for anybody with experience in their job, it's not as hard as it used to be. There was a time when quarterbacking was really hard for me because you didn't know what to do. And now finally you get to a point where you really know what to do. I don't want to stop now.
Again, that was Brady last year. Hear the passion in his voice? The energy in his voice? The passion and the energy to keep playing, and this ain't ending anytime soon. I've got the answers to the test. I'm not going to stop now. I'm not stopping now, Giselle. Peter. Bill, and we're just getting started. That's the whole tone. And then with Oprah, sooner rather than later.
Right, exactly. Sooner rather than later. I'll tell you just an underrated part of that cut I like. It's like, you know, you get to this stage, I don't want to give up now. You mean when you're doing it at this age? No. Like, shut up, Peter. You're breaking my train of thought. No, I'm talking about having the answers to the test, you knucklehead. Like, it's like, shut up. Just let me talk.
So the great bait and switch from Tom Brady continues. Gary in Providence. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, you just said it. Last year, the passion in his voice. What happened from then until now?
They kicked his trainer out.
But no, the Super Bowl happened.
Yeah, no, they traded his understudy too, Gary.
Yes, I understand that. That's a little part of it to me, that the contract a little bit. But what he loves most is winning, Mike. And what did that guy do? He looked at one stop away from losing, from winning the game. One stop. That's how I think he looks at it, and that left him bitter. And that's what I think.
So
most of it is.
Okay, Gary, thank you for the call. Another person who thinks it's the Butler thing that sent Brady into retirement.
No, see, that's what fans want. Again, because they want to take Brady's side in the Brady versus Bill thing, because it's classic deflecting.
Don't well, say fans. How about your sleeves over there?
That's part of it, Maz, but it's not all of it.
Listen, again, the cherry on top, so to speak. But is that what's behind the rift?
No. No, it's Guerrero getting his access ripped away, and I think he's tired of all the negativity that he has Belichick spouting off. But you're nuts to not think that the Butler decision doesn't have something to do with this.
I'm just
and his attitude change.
Yeah, I think
he feels ripped off. He should have got a sixth ring.
Sure, but I think the rift was there before. We know it was there before.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, again, trading Garoppolo gave Brady leverage, and all of a sudden he's a little bit bolder. And so, and look, I get it. I understand why. If I were Brady, I'd feel a lot of the same things. He's human. How could you not?
So, look, again, we've been playing the cuts all day. Brady last year with King and this year versus with Oprah. And he says in that King cut right there that now it's just getting fun. I have all the answers. It's fun. But by the time you get to the end of last year and the end of Tom versus Time and now into the offseason, there's a big concern about Brady's fun meter. He's not having fun. Well, was that... Did the Butler thing take fun away, or did they take away his trainer and he got sick of getting his balls busted by Bill and, like, the relationship soured? That's what happened.
Yes.
It was prior to the Butler thing. It wasn't about Butler taking his fun away. Bill took his fun away.
And he also thought they were going to trade Garoppolo sooner than they did. He thought that they were going to move him at the draft. It was the final opportunity, and here you go. I'm done with Garoppolo. He thought by winning that last Super Bowl,
right, so
he was free.
When he talked to Peter King, that was after the Super before the draft.
Right. He thought he was free. So here you go. I'm free and clear with Jimmy G. They'll trade his ass now with the draft coming up. That'll be the end of that. I'll show up, and now I'm in my golden years.
Probably a new contract. Jimmy's gone, and off we go.
And then he got none of it. He showed up for camp, and all of a sudden it's like, well, here we go. You mean I still have to prove myself? Like, again? I still have to fight this guy off? Is Bill going to get rid of me? To me, that's where it really amplified.
Michael, who says he's under the bridge right now. Go ahead, Michael.
I mean... If I have to listen to one more person talk about, oh, Malcolm Butler, he sat Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl and therefore break. No. I mean, seriously, Malcolm Butler, I just had to say that. I mean, I've had to listen to that so many times. Does anybody actually believe that when it comes out of their mouth? And then I just wanted to touch on, so Brady, he says two things over and over again. I want to have fun with my family. And, oh, guys, this is a business. You got to understand, this is a business. So how is it that it's a business when Brady needs it to be a business, but when Brady needs it to be about fun and about family, I almost feel like that's one of the worst things you can do. Lie and say, oh, it's about my family. This is all about my family. When in reality, it has nothing to do with your family. It has nothing to do with Bill Belichick. And I'm really getting sick and tired of listening to fans talk about Malcolm Butler. He sat Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. Well, Brady throws an interception in the Super Bowl. Does that mean that Brady doesn't?
Well, not an interception in this case, but a fumble on a front side rush right in front of him. People sort of leave that one out.
Didn't have the answers on that play. Guy was coming right at him.
The thing about using the family, it's weak. It's weak. It just is. Everyone has families. Everyone wants to be there for their kids at practice. Everyone puts value into it. Everyone does. Everyone.
Yeah, it's the unquestionable excuse, though.
But if you question it, then you're the a-hole.
Right.
It's like, well, how dare you? You know, that's his family. Well, of course, yes, of course. But, you know, you still have to go to work. I'd like to pick up the kid at school every day, too, but I have to go to work. You know, and so does Tom. But now, suddenly, here comes a family thing, which, Maz, if he's using his leverage against the team to get what he wants... Do you still have a problem with it?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Yeah. Because, again, don't just throw your family in it. Now, look, again, publicly, first of all, to me, if they're...
What if this is just a negotiation?
I'm not giving him any more money if I'm Kraft. Again, you know, and now I'm going back to what Greg Bedard said to us during the football season, some stuff like that. But that, you know, that Brady or Brady's camp was upset about the fact that Garoppolo was still around and all these elements piled up. And so Brady was saying, hey, you know, when do I get taken care of? So they traded Garoppolo and they took care of him. Well, how much more do you want, Tom? You want to run the team? Like, this is why ultimately you can only have one guy in charge. Because once you start giving power to a second person,
why is it
person,
wrong for him to be for him want to be paid what he's worth? Is that wrong?
When does that ever matter to him?
It's about respect, though. It's not actually about the dollars.
Well,
if
no,
I was in his shoes and I knew that Matt Ryan was the highest paid quarterback in the league right now, ugh, please,
okay,
it should be me.
So let's say it's a change. He didn't used to care about that as much as he does now, but let's say he does now. Is it wrong?
No, I mean, he's entitled to ask for more money, and they're entitled to say no.
But is that in the best interest of the team right now, to say no to him?
So look, they backed themselves into a corner with Brady. I hear what you're saying. What's he going to do, not play hard? Is he going to quit?
Well, he's not showing up to these voluntary OTAs. He's
okay,
already proven that. You know.
But again, can you guarantee me that all of a sudden giving him the money?
Yes. I mean, if it's part of the agreement. I mean, if it's part of the, you know, you look Robert in the eye and Robert looks Tom in the eye and says, we're taking care of you here. We're making sure that you're one of the highest paid guys in the league on your way out the door. We'll add an extra year to the contract. You commit to 2 to 3 years of real Tom Brady-like commitment. And you look him in the eye and Brady looks him in the eye and shakes his hand and Brady's back at passing camp.
Okay, so again, you're just talking about the actual presence that physically he has to be there.
Yeah, and mean it. Yes.
Okay, but how can you guarantee that
you can't guarantee anything?
All right, so
this is my point, is that if he's reached a stage where he says, screw them, I'm doing it my way now, you can give him the money and he can show up. He still might not be as dialed in.
Might not be, but it's in the best interest for the franchise for them to at least take that risk. I believe that, and that's me being objective. See, you're still biased because you don't want to give him that money in the extension because a certain someone's not here anymore.
Well, no, but you're not being objective, Murray. You just
You
just want Brady to win, Murray. Maz just wants Belichick to win. And wouldn't you know it, as usual, I just want the Patriots to win. Yeah, I couldn't even say it with a straight face. Here's Justin and Stoughton. Go ahead, Justin. What do you got for us?
I have an inside source from one of my friends who's friends with Wiggy's friend's girlfriend who dated the Patriots. And supposedly, right before the Super Bowl, there was a meeting, and they told Butler that he wasn't going to start. Didn't say he wasn't going to play, said he wasn't going to start. And I guess he got frustrated and possibly put his hands on one of the coaches. And that's when Bill Belichick, during the national anthem, walked out and told him that he wasn't going to play in the game.
Okay, for that one before, maybe it's something like that. Is that still justifiable as you're going down in flames and allowing 40-plus to a backup quarterback?
No, because, again, it undermines all the other guys on the team. Like, so you're not going to put your best team on the field in the Super Bowl, especially for a guy who you're going to let walk as soon as the game's over?
And I told you before, whatever he did, if it's so egregious that you can't have him on the team, like, I think there is a line there somewhere. Take his uniform away. From day one, that was the mistake.
So what if it happened right before the game?
So after they sent in the inactive list, you can still get him off the sidelines. Get him off the field. Whatever he did, if he punched out a coach, he was still okay to play on the punt team, wasn't he? And he would have played on the punt team all game long if there were more punts. But there's only one punt. So that's the only time that he played. But if it was so egregious, caller, if he put his hands on a coach, then he can't play, period. But it was something that was so bad that he can't play, but he can play special teams. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't. It makes zero sense.
So, I mean, we can go back to this. No, we're not.
And again, let's
not confuse. And if Dakota calls with his super scoop, we're going to take it off the air first and clear it through our Felger and Maz sensors, which, by the way, are exceedingly accepting. So if you get nabbed by the Felger and Maz sensors, then what you have to say is really bad because we'll basically let anything through.
Yeah, it's like steroid testing. If you get popped in steroid testing,
we allow you a 12-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, then you are really over the limit if you're going in that high. Seriously. That's a big mistake on your part.
But whatever it is, like, look, if he punches out a coach and you don't want to play him because of that, I say fine. Like, okay, you got to have rules at some point. Then why'd he play on the punt team? Why'd he play on the punt team? How seriously are you about your rules? And, I mean, that's what made the Wes Welker thing.
Because then Belichick can say, oh, Butler played.
So awful, but that doesn't pass the sniff test. Because, wait, so then what does he say to that assistant coach who got punched out? Yeah, we stand by you, Ivan. Except we needed him on punt team, so we played him. Like, that's not, that sends a mixed message. Either you're in or you're out. Either what you did is a violation or not.
Yeah, I still don't think that at the end of the day it really had anything to do all that much with Brady. I mean, again, Murray, some percentage at the end? Sure, 5%. Whatever. It was about Garoppolo and them leveraging him and forcing Guerrero out and greasing the skids. Brady thought that Bill was greasing the skids for him, and he's still pissed about it. He's still pissed.
It all started before Butler. The Seth Wickersham story was before Butler. It's all before Butler. Believe me, Brady's using it against Bill now. Yeah, that's a cudgel. He can use it against him, but that's not the germination of it. We're still talking about it. Isn't that unbelievable?
It started when Bill said, go talk to the quarterback about the deflated footballs. That's where it started.
No question it's on the list.
I mean, Brady gets asked by Jim Gray at the Milken Institute. He gets asked then about his relationship with Belichick and says, I plead the fifth. Then Oprah asks about him, and it's, I love him. I love that man. I love him. And the way he said it, too, like if he said, no, I love
the coach.
You think
it was sincere?
No, he was totally insincere.
Oh, I think this was so sincere.
But, like, he doesn't even lie well anymore. Like, I'm not sure he ever did, but now he's a really bad liar.
Final word comes your way next, where you will hear, and you don't hear this often, but a really, really angry golf caller. That's next.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that he's a incredible, you know, coach, mentor for me, and he's pushed me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything,
yeah.
But that's relationships.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody. All right, so a couple of golf-related sound clips here for the final word today. We'll start with Maz and some strong thoughts on Phil Mickelson's weekend at the U.S. Open.
To me, the game's about risk-reward. So you have the chance to try to make a 3 on a par 5, but if you miss, you're going to make a 7. Make a decision. Okay, that's what I like. You have a choice. To me, that's what the game's about. And then being able to make the shots under pressure. This thing is don't f*** up. I mean, these guys are, look, they're a bunch of babies. They're a bunch of babies, all of them.
As evidenced by
Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson. So Phil Mickelson.
And he's one of the older ones.
You've all seen it by now. Just your thoughts on that whole situation.
Oh, I thought he quit. I thought he completely quit. I think that's what that was about. He was frustrated with the course. He was playing like garbage. You know, he hit the putt past the hole. It was going to roll down the hill. He was going to have to chip up, and he said, screw it, I'm going to take the 2-stroke penalty. So, you know, he was out of contention, and like I've heard people say he should have been tossed out of the tournament. Maybe, I guess, I don't know, it didn't cross my mind. I just thought he quit. What's the point of being out there?
So I
didn't, and just as an aside, when I saw him the first day on the tournament, he's fat. He is fatter than ever. He's getting bigger every time I see him, which further tells me that he's quit. I think Mickelson got in this tournament, and it was too hard, and he wasn't playing great, and he said, screw this, and he pulled a John Daly.
So what was he, 10 over par at that point?
Something like that.
So who cares? It was hysterical.
Yeah.
And people treating this thing like it's further proof of the decline of civilization. You nerds, stop it with your high and mighty finger wagging of this. Oh, how dare he? Oh, he should have been thrown off the course. Please. It's the only thing worth talking about from this thing this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not making any sort of moral judgment on him. I'm just more anti-Mickelson. You fat dump. He is. He's huge now. He is getting bigger, man.
Yeah,
he's
no,
a whale.
True. He's back. He's back to being big.
Oh, he is. He's a whale. He is getting big.
Yeah, you lose some pounds there with New England fat loss. You're all grilly, and you get to start throwing it around. You know how it is, Maz.
Tony, he's what? He's 48. He's getting ready for the senior tour, Murray. He's going to start having, he's going to start ordering Domino's on the first tee, and he's going to be one fat bastard by the time he gets to 55.
Well, the best thing of all is that that collective commentary on the U.S. Open led to this call from Mike in Framingham. the only person I've ever heard get this angry about golf.
Mike in Framingham on the Open. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, do yourself and your listeners a favor and stop talking about something you know nothing about. The only thing that you're thinking could be compelling about golf is a resurrection of a guy who hasn't won a major in 10 years because he's a superstar. That's all you know about the sports. If there's no superstar there, oh my God, it's a bunch of guys that swing the same. You're morons. You know nothing about the game. If you actually watched it, you might find it compelling.
I didn't say the guys were all the same. Don't let me in.
They're exactly the same. They all the exact same. They all have the exact same country club swing from daddy and their swing coach. They all look exactly the same to me, Mike.
And what you know about golf, we can put on the head of a pin, Felger.
Because it's boring. It sucks.
Completely.
It used to be interesting. It now blows, Mike.
What's that now?
It used to be interesting. Now it blows.
You had a superstar because you know.
No. I'm pre-Tiger. I'm not a Tiger guy. I could care less about
never
that.
Mind. It didn't have to be a Tiger guy. He was a superstar.
Well, that's what you're referring to, right?
Not attracted to the game.
I wasn't attracted to Tiger.
Yeah, there's no superstar anymore in the game. Not one that's going to be competitive any longer. Phil Mickelson's a 48-year-old phony. So you're focusing on him as a fat pig who can't play? Anybody who's watched golf for the last 15 years knows he's done.
Why are you so angry?
I'm angry because you don't know anything about a sport that I spent 4 days over the weekend with my wife and many other people, and we had a wonderful time.
No, you're sounds it. No, yeah, you know, you're angry because you just wasted 4 days of your life on something that was hideous. That's why you're angry. Well, that guy's angrier than I am. God bless.
I thought the tournament sucked.
That was an angry golf caller.
Yeah, but I think we've established he didn't dispute Mickelson's fatness.
No, he confirmed it.
So, in fact, he himself used the term fat pig. So I think we established a fact.
Well, I have common ground anyway.
Yes, so we've established a fact that Mickelson is fat. That fact is not disputed. Mickelson is fat.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.